Win three large Gambino pizzas in the At Work Network. Register today at kvoe.com/at work. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Live, win free pizza and locals. KVOE, live and local. 1400 AM, 96.9 FM presents In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael.
Welcome to our In the Garden program here this September 18th. Chuck Samples is your host today with Lyon County Extension horticulturist Travis Carmichael. Travis, good to see you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Chuck?
Good. How are things in the office today?
It's good.
Or, I was going to say, maybe out of the office now that you're here.
Everything's good. We're getting a little bit of rain.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It kind of brings up a topic here as to whether we need to possibly maybe dry out just a little bit. Hold on a second. I got Blake Cripps joining us here.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to step in here real quick. Some people probably have noticed that we've had some signal issues today.
We have had a few, yes.
So at one point, it was working on 96.9, not 1400. Well, we flip-flopped now. So 1400 is working.
To the AM. All right.
96.9 is not. So if you know people who are trying, our engineer is on it, and I can hear, like, if you're hearing like some weird whining sounds, that's probably him out there trying to get the translator back on right now, or they're doing something.
Okay.
So at any rate, kvoe.com/listen still works, and also 1400 works. But if you're hearing that during the day, we're aware. We're working on it.
We're working on it.
To get both back. So anyway, have a good show, guys.
All right. Okay. Blake, thank you. Appreciate it. And we'll be checking in with Blake probably with sports here in just a little bit within the next hour or so. And hold on a second here. I got to make sure I turn Travis's microphone back up because I was trying to turn Blake's down. Wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. And then I turned Travis off the air altogether. That's not what I wanted to do, Travis. I apologize.
It's okay. It's all right.
I was going to ask you here before Blake got on board here. We've had a pretty wet September.
It's
not one of the topics that we had originally talked about, but are we about due to dry out just a little bit?
I would sure think so. I need to look because I know the other day we're still at a bit of a deficit for the year.
Really? Okay.
But doesn't
feel like it.
No, it doesn't. We've had areas where it's been downpours, but we've been fairly lucky. I think most of this has soaked in and has been useful. So I would think shortly we should be due to dry out. It looks like, though, there's still chances well into next week.
It's looking like it, yeah.
Of rain, too. So it's going to be hard to get some of that fall planting done. We're going to talk about some planting in that, but, of course, that's all going to be contingent on whether or not we dry out, because you don't want to go out there and be working up your soil when it's this damp, because you're just going to make problems for yourself later and that. So I guess we'll see. We either go back and forth. It's either a wet spring
or a wet fall.
We've had a few cases where it's been both.
Mm-hmm. Or neither.
or neither. You are correct. Then we're just dry, dry, dry. Mm-hmm. So I think from, you know, just what I've seen of the climate here in the 12 years I've been here, I think we just be lucky we are getting the precipitation we're seeing now and just kind of go from there, because you never know when it's going to shut off. I know it's going to be affecting harvest.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that has started too in areas of the county. So we'll just kind of wait and see. Mother Nature likes to throw us curveballs, so.
Yeah, she's pretty good at that. Want to let you know here, too, as you join us here on In the Garden today, that our program, as usual, is brought to you by RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. Jeff and Bree Williams joining us here. And don't wait, spring into action. Make your move with Jeff and Bree at RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. 620-341-7653 is the number to call there. Also by Grove Gardens for the best selection of plants, pottery, and produce. Grove Gardens is your place, 401 West Main in Council Grove. By the Emporia Farmers Market. Join them downtown every Saturday through October. Season's wrapping up here soon. And wrapped up now for Wednesday's in September. This month is when things were wrapping up there. Waters Hardware also bringing you the program today. Fall color is in full bloom at Waters Hardware. It's starting to get full bloom area-wide. Check out the Garden Center for the Hardy Mums, starting at $7.99. Good deal there. And also by Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate, 620-344-6165. You know, we're going to be talking about planting later, but we want to talk about something here. It is going to be a Thursday on a Monday, or a Monday on a Thursday here. We talked about, you know, we're going to do some spring or planting conversations here in a little bit, which may sound a little bit weird, but we're also going to be talking about something to watch out for, maybe attack here from the other side, trying to get rid of hen. We can start with that here.
Yeah, so generally we talk about this in the springtime where folks are asking how to control henbit. And another one that blooms and happens about the same time is chickweed.
Oh, okay.
And both of them are extremely hard to control in the spring when they're flowering. Of course, unfortunately, that's generally when we notice those two big weeds, especially the henbit.
Let's jump into it now. Oh, wait, it's too late.
So, you can do sometimes a little bit of a control real early, so like February, March time frame, or just as you're starting to see it grow more in the early spring on the henbit. But then by the time we all notice it, when we're all driving around and we see the fields of purple, it's too late by that point. So now is actually the time to be trying to combat it. It is considered a winter annual.
Okay.
So it will germinate in the fall, start to grow, then it will put itself kind of in a dormancy period, go through the winter, start to grow, flower, and then die. That is its life cycle. So it does it kind of through the winter months, hence the term of winter annual, whereas most everything else is spring and summer type annuals. So combating it now is kind of when we want to look at it. So from here until into the first part of October, we can be putting down those pre-emergence to help with it. Luckily, we have some rain, so that helps get that because most of those pre-emergence come granular. You can purchase pre-emergence that are liquid form, but the granulars are a little more readily available to homeowners. So the moisture will help it dissolve to create the barrier in the soil. What it does, it creates that barrier, then the newly emerged plant will absorb it, and that's what kills it. So it doesn't stop plants from germinating. It stops it from emerging out of the soil. So the plant still has to start to grow in the soil, but then it takes it in, kills it that way.
Okay.
Now, there's always a chance we miss some. Or, yes, some of the products, and you can use the same ones we talk about every year for crabgrass prevention, using Dimension and that for and Barricade, all those products for pre-emergence that help on the crabgrass will work on this too.
Okay.
So if you have some of that around, same product, you can use it. But we always run the chance that we will have areas that we missed. Or because of the rain, it lessens the
It gets diluted, basically.
It gets diluted. It lessens its lifespan of that. Because Barricade, Dimension, all of them have different periods that they're good for. But in periods of wet, that timeline shrinks quite a bit. So know that there could be, depending on when you get it down, there could be areas that the henbit still gets through. And so we would be able to still see that germinate in this early spring, or not spring, excuse me, this fall.
Fall, okay.
Let me get in the right season.
Sorry, I threw you out there.
I know. We see that in the fall, they're going to be real small. So we would have to actually be down essentially on the ground looking for them. But then we could go ahead and then hit it with some 2,4-D or some broadleaf weed killer, not Roundup or non-selective, because that will kill our grass if it's in our grass or anything else. But so be looking, and you can do some spraying yet this fall. If you're using 2,4-D and you're in the landscape, make sure it's only on the weeds, because all of our landscape plants are broadleaves, so that will harm them as well. So just kind of know that. And then, like I mentioned, when we talk about this normally in the spring, we're too late for control. We just have to let it go through the motions. And that the only thing would be is, you know, if you can, in areas, keep it mowed back so the flowers don't produce seed, is really be your only best bet in the spring. Mm. But it gets hard to do that too when it's everywhere. So keep that in mind. Now's the time to be thinking of control for the henbit and chickweed to help with the headache come spring.
On the henbit and chickweed, for folks that are possibly doing this for the first time, what do they need to look for at this season? I mean, with henbit, it's pretty obvious. It's, you know, it's beautiful.
It is.
It's just not supposed to be there.
Right.
But what do people need to look for the possibility of spread or something like that, maybe from season to season? Because mm-hmm. I'm assuming that folks can say, okay, I'm going to treat that in the fall. This is generally the area where it was. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember that. But what do you need to look for to maybe see exactly where you're at?
So you're just going to be out trying to see what little patches of weeds are starting to emerge.
Okay.
Some of it's going to be fair, you know, you're looking for something fairly small. It's not going to be recognizable by this is what it is. So you may have to grab samples, bring them in for us to look at. Depending on your phone, now some of our phones with just the plain camera feature, because it will search the internet, it can give you a general idea of what you're looking at.
Okay.
Too. So, I know more on iPhone, since that's what I have. But on iPhone, if you take the photo, the little eye information circle at the bottom, it will change and it will get a little, like, stars around it. If you click on it, it will then say, like, look up plant. So it's already identified there's a plant there. You can see what it brings up. Hmm. Use that with caution, because it's not always...
It's not accurate yet.
No, not a lot. Sometimes it's like it can be fairly spot on, and sometimes it's way out there and
kind of like the early versions of Google Maps, in other words.
Oh, yeah. Right? Or like when I moved here and they said tell everyone to put the extension office's address as U.S. Highway 50, not Highway 50, because mm-hmm. it would take you to a bean field south of Flying J instead of... So this feature is kind of like that. So you use it as a stepping stone.
Okay.
But it can get you kind of narrowed down a bit to help you maybe find what you're looking at. But they're going to be small. They will hold in that state all winter. Then they ramp up as soon as it warms up, and that's when everyone notices it. So it's going to be hard to see it first. You might notice like little patches of green amongst other stuff that's starting to go dormant. So that would be one area maybe to look at.
Okay.
But yeah, it's generally we do miss it in the fall because it's small. Other things are hiding it. And then all of a sudden you're like, wow, we got a problem come spring.
So now it's too late.
Been there, done that, you know. So come spring, if you missed it and you're wondering what it is, henbit is kind of in the mint family, so it has a square stem on it. Sometimes it will have a bit of an aroma to it, because it being in the related to what other plants it is.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's pretty, once you've know it, it's one, it's not hard to forget. But if you're still trying to figure it out, it will have a complete four-sided stem. It will be 100% square with edges, and that when you feel it. So just a few things to look for and think of. But yeah, now's the time to control it.
There you go. 11:19 on KVUE and KVUE.com. Travis Carmichael in the garden. Lyon County Extension Horticulturist joining us as usual here on KVUE every Thursday morning. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some asparagus and we're going to talk about rhubarb as we continue in the garden on KVUE live and local.
This is Bree
and Jeff Williams, Emporia's home team at RE/MAX Eck Real Estate.
From finding your dream home to selling your current home for top dollar, we are here to make your real estate needs a breeze.
Emporia is full of great homes. Let us help you find the perfect place to enjoy the summer sunshine.
Or we can provide a free consultation on your home's value and provide the best marketing plan for your selling needs.
Give us a call today, Emporia's home team at RE/MAX Eck Real Estate, 620-341-7653.
The burr months are here, and so are the pumpkins, celosia, and mums. Visit Grove Gardens today to explore their beautiful fall selection and let them help you create the perfect autumn atmosphere for your home. Please stay up to date on the latest produce arrivals and selection of locally grown plants, houseplants, and workshops by following their Facebook page, Grove Gardens, 401 West Main in Council Grove. Decorate your life with color.
The 43rd outdoor season of the Emporia Farmers Market is underway. Throughout the season, our farmers market offers the best of fresh fruits and vegetables, local honey, farm fresh eggs, jellies, baked goods, pet treats, plants and flowers, apple cider, jewelry, books, specialty gifts, and more. All items are grown or made right here in Kansas by local vendors. We hope you'll choose the Emporia Farmers Market, whether you're looking for a special ingredient in your favorite recipe, picking up something that is ready to take home and enjoy, or seeking a unique gift. Emporia Farmers Market is the place to shop and support your local community. See you at the market.
Professionalism, expertise, and experience. Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate is ready to help you with the spring and summer housing market. Whether it's buying or selling, may your walls know joy, may every room hold laughter, and every window open to great possibility. Let Judy Turner at Farm and Home Real Estate help you find that perfect home and sell your existing home. Contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 620-344-6165.
Fall color is in bloom at Waters Hardware. Check out the Garden Center for Hardy Mums starting at just $7.99 and save up to $10 on Scott's Turf Builder Winter Garden Grass Seed. You'll also find great monthly specials like 59% off rigs and specials on bird seed. While you're there, did you know Waters Hardware has appliances? See their great appliance selection for big deals all at Waters Hardware, 2727 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. This is KVOE News Headlines.
Chuck Samples, KVOE News with local news headlines here today. Formal charges are pending against an Eskridge man after an attempted traffic stop led to an arrest on suspicion of drug-related charges and specifically low-level felony distribution. Right now, formal charges pending against 55-year-old Alex Thompson after the arrest yesterday. Short-term and long-term construction projects continuing in the city of Emporia. Also, short-term projects continuing in Lyon County beginning Monday for Road K between roads 310 and 330. Southeast Transmission Line waterline replacement project with potential water service disruptions tomorrow on 7th from Arundel to Oak and Elm from 7th to 6th. And after another night of rainfall area-wide and some very heavy rainfall totals through 9 o'clock this morning, more showers and storms quite possible through the rest of the day today. And we'll have details coming up at 12:05 this afternoon. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
Find a bargain or cut a deal. Garage sale listings at garage sale prices. Find out all the details at kvoe.com/garage sale.
In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
Segment number two of In the Garden right now on KVOE and KVOE.com at 11:24. Travis Carmichael joining us again from the Lyon County Extension office, horticulturist for last dozen years. It's hard to think that it's been that long, to be honest.
I know, right? It's gone quick.
Yeah. You'd mentioned here several times when I've been on the broadcast here filling in about, essentially sampling processes. And I know we're off a little bit, but I wanted to bring this up because I'm not sure people really realize that that's one of the options that they have here through Lyon County Extension.
Yeah. So when you say sampling, that kind of brings up a broad topic. So
we're talking about broadleaves earlier, so yeah, I'm just stay with that broad.
When it comes to sampling, the services we provide at the extension office is one is we can send in soil samples to the soils lab at K-State. Mm-hmm. And we do that for lawn and garden, as well as agronomic crops. So Brian looks at those and gives recommendations, and I look at all the ones pertaining to gardens, whether that's vegetable or flower gardens, and then lawns, shrubs, and trees. That's okay. You know, and orchards and the such. Whatever falls under horticulture is what I will look at. Agronomy is what Brian looks at.
Got it.
And so, you know, that's the one nice thing about the local offices doing that is you send it to the lab, they give a report, and then we specialize your report to our area. So we take the numbers that we see and we tweak it for our area and give you an idea of things you can do to maybe help with plant growth. You know, I see that a lot more in my area because when we're talking lawns or trees and shrubs, you know, sometimes the soil's just compacted because of just normal wear and tear on lawns. Us out there walking through it will compact it, especially when it's wet. So we can give some ideas to help with that. So that's one sampling that we can do. The other is you can bring us samples of your plants or weeds and we will identify them. We can also then tell you what's wrong with them a lot of times. So
yeah.
We tend to see them when they're diseased or they're heavily infested with insects.
Okay.
And so we do that. I do a lot of weed identification as well. So does Brian. So it goes back and kind of both of us do that in our respective fields, but that's kind of a big broad area when you say sampling. And the nice thing is if we can't figure it out or we suspect it's something else, we can take those samples and send them up to K-State to the respective labs.
Okay.
So Brian sent some the other day. I've done it in the past. If we think there's a disease and we can't figure it out, or we know the only way to find out is to have a plant pathologist look at it, we can send that up there for them to culture and tell us what we're looking at and that. And even same with insects. If you catch a weird one and, you know, we're on the fence, we can either take some good photos or we can send those off too. So we have, you know, that's kind of a big broad area on samples, especially on the plant side. And that's really, you know, kind of the big area of what we cover. We do also then keep sample boxes for those individuals who need to sample some of their water and do some water testing. We just have the test kit you collect, and then you will send that off to SDK Labs and Hutch and then correspond with them. Brian also does hay samples.
You can
bring those in, and they'll do the feed analysis and that on them. So those are a few of the things. We also then sell the test kits for radon if you are considering of testing your areas, because that is high throughout parts of the state due to our bedrock being limestone. That's just one of the
byproducts.
You betcha. So, yeah, we offer several different areas. Since you brought up the word sampling, there you go.
If you got questions, I'm going to add to Travis's load and Brian's at 620-341-3220.
Yep.
If you got questions, let's shoot back to what we had originally planned.
Yeah, sure.
And this is asparagus and rhubarb. I think people like me who like asparagus, more of a springtime, early summer deal, but apparently you can maybe get some stuff started on that now.
Yeah. So generally we do transplant those in the spring.
Okay.
And you can also refer to as planting them, but if you're starting out new, it's considered transplanting because we're either buying bare roots of the asparagus or you're buying a container of rhubarb that's already growing. So we're going to transplant those into their respective areas.
Okay.
So generally, yeah, we do that in the fall, but is in the spring, but fall can also be a good time to do that. Biggest thing though for us for it to be 100% successful is we're going to have to wait until the tops on both of them have browned and died back. So we're going to wait until after probably the first frost really hits, and that helps kill them back. And so once they've died back, then we can cut them back to the ground, and then we can go ahead and work on moving them.
Okay.
So that's when we would dig them up, move them to the new site, and then water them in very well. And then go ahead and mulch them in. That way it helps hold some of that moisture in. It helps kind of protect them from the cold that is to come. Mm-hmm. And then you just pretty much go from there and treat them as you would if they were new plants. So that means on rhubarb, first year you're not really going to do a whole lot with it. The second year you can harvest a little bit. Third year is when it's really in production. That's kind of the same with asparagus. First year you really don't do a whole lot with it. You let it just grow and fern out. Second year you can start to take a few spears. Third year is when you really can then start harvesting it more, because the goal is to get them well established before you start removing, because that will reduce the vigor of the plant, because you're taking the leaves and the food making portion of that plant away when we harvest either the stalks or the spears. Depending which one you're growing. So just keep that in mind. But yes, we can, if need be, fall is a good time to go ahead and transplant those. It's just going to be a little bit later. Generally, we're thinking now, let's go. Now is a go time for planting and that, so it can be established before we hit winter. But we want to wait a little bit because we want these guys to get all the energy they can back into that root system. And for them, a frost is what triggers that. So once that frost hits and they brown back and you can cut them back, then you can go ahead and move them to a new location, or maybe the patch just needs to be thinned out. Gift them to friends and family and others who you know have been wanting some, and go from there.
I know, what was it, last week? Week before? It was within the last 3 weeks, and I was going to use this as a comparison contract. We had talked about peonies and how they need to be real close to the surface for their transplants and their replanting to be successful. For somebody who hasn't done this before, how deep do you put asparagus and rhubarb in order to make sure that they have a good chance of success?
Yeah, so when you transplant them, I would be watching where the soil level is on either of them. So when we do like the rhubarb, you're going to be taking a root ball. So you want to place that at the exact same level that it was at. Now, on the asparagus, some of it might kind of fall apart a bit, but I would also try to do the same thing. See exactly where it's at. They're not as finicky on depth as peonies are, but just try to get them kind of at the same depth. Asparagus, if they go a little bit deeper, they'll still grow. They'll be fine. Anything that tends to grow, I don't want to say more above ground, but like the rhubarb, you want to kind of keep it at the same level in that. When you transplant it as well. And when we say water well, don't drown them. I mean, don't give them the full river. Rhubarb is fairly easy to drown out. I've seen it. Even when I worked in retail before I really went to school for all this, that was a common occurrence. People bringing us rhubarb in that been well-watered,
overly well-watered, yeah.
and well-loved. So just kind of watch that, because regardless, as it starts to grow next spring, because you won't see anything this year after you move them, reminder for everyone, since I brought up overwatering, the symptoms of overwatering on a plant are the same symptoms of underwatering. They wilt. So a lot of times the difference, though, is after they wilt and you let them wilt, a plant that's dry will eventually turn crispy, whereas a plant that's been overwatered will kind of stay a little more spongy, floppy before it fully dries out. Okay. So there is a slight difference, but the first tall tale signs is they wilt. So keep that in mind. If you're noticing a wilting plant, check the soil first before you do anything. Because if it's too wet, you just got to back off versus add more water. So
gotcha. Anything else we need to consider, like, once the plant's established, just like that early maybe few weeks of care before we really get into the wintertime months?
Yeah, so as we get into, as they're established and growing, the biggest thing will be is most folks have the complaints on the asparagus generally happen in the spring because the patch gets weedy. And there's nothing really good to control any weeds that's not going to harm the asparagus. So be watching for that in the real early spring before they emerge and the eyes are popping out. You can do a very light, no more than an inch into the ground cultivation over the top of your asparagus patch to really kind of help with the weeds and that. So just kind of keep that in mind. That's the biggest one, is how do I control weeds in my asparagus patch? You know, because if it's a well-established patch and it's growing, then you got the jungle you're trying to weed out. Whereas around rhubarb, it's easier because it's a plant. It's a more of a single plant versus a colony of of plants. So that's really the biggest thing to watch for as they get established and we're going, is just the weed control and going from there.
Gotcha. 11:36 on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, Emporia, Kansas, and KVUE.com. In the garden with Lyon County Extension Horticulturist Travis Carmichael. One more segment, and we'll be coming back talking a little bit more about spring flowering bulbs as we wrap things up here today. I was going to do that. In the garden, brought to you today by Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate, also by Grove Gardens, by Waters Hardware, by the Emporia Farmers Market, and Jeff and Bree Williams from RE/MAX Ec Real Estate. Final segment after this on KVOE.
Fall color is in bloom at Waters Hardware. Check out the Garden Center for Hardy Mum starting at just $7.99 and save up to $10 on Scott's Turf Builder Winter Garden Grass Seed. You'll also find great monthly specials like 59% off rigs and specials on birdseed. While you're there, did you know Waters Hardware has appliances? See their great appliance selection for big deals all at Waters Hardware, 2727 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Professionalism, expertise, and experience. Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate is ready to help you with the spring and summer housing market. Whether it's buying or selling, may your walls know joy, may every room hold laughter, and every window open to great possibility. Let Judy Turner at Farm and Home Real Estate help you find that perfect home and sell your existing home. Contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 620-344-6165.
The 43rd outdoor season of the Emporia Farmers Market is underway. Throughout the season, our Farmers Market offers the best of fresh fruits and vegetables, local honey, farm fresh eggs, jellies, baked goods, pet treats, plants and flowers, apple cider, jewelry, books, specialty gifts, and more. All items are grown or made right here in Kansas by local vendors. We hope you'll choose the Emporia Farmers Market, whether you're looking for a special ingredient in your favorite recipe, picking up something that is ready to take home and enjoy, or seeking a unique gift. Emporia Farmers Market is the place to shop and support your local community. See you at the market.
The burr months are here, and so are the pumpkins, celosia, and mums. Visit Grove Gardens today to explore their beautiful fall selection and let them help you create the perfect autumn atmosphere for your home. Please stay up to date on the latest produce arrivals and select of locally grown plants, houseplants, and workshops by following their Facebook page, Grove Gardens, 401 West Main in Council Grove. Decorate your life with color.
This is Bree
and Jeff Williams, Emporia's home team at RE/MAX Ec Real Estate.
From finding your dream home to selling your current home for top dollar, we are here to make your real estate needs a breeze.
Emporia is full of great homes. Let us help you find the perfect place to enjoy the summer sunshine.
Or we can provide a free consultation on your home's value and provide the best marketing plan for your selling needs.
Give us a call today, Emporia's home team at RE/MAX Ec Real Estate. 620-341-7653.
Do you have a new driver in the family? Start them off with just more than the fundamentals of driving from point A to B. Make sure they understand what actually keeps their car reliable and on the road and safe. At Black Creek Diesel Automotive, they can schedule regular maintenance with oil changes, tire rotations, and more. Visit blackcreekdieselandautomotive.com or give them a call at 620-343-0086. A safe car helps make a safe driver. Black Creek Diesel and Automotive, 3105 West 6th, here in Emporia.
LaGuardia International Airport in New York is named after one of the city's most beloved mayors, Fiorello LaGuardia. One of the most famous stories about him took place during the Great Depression, when families were struggling to put food on the table. One night during his tenure, he gave a judge the night off and took the bench himself, listening to court cases all through the night. One of his most heartbreaking cases was a mother who was guilty of stealing a loaf of bread in order to feed her kids. The fine was $10, and LaGuardia knew she had no way of paying it. In an act of kindness, he sentenced her to pay the fine, reached into his pocket, and grabbed a $10 note and paid the fine himself. This is a perfect description of who our God is. He didn't excuse the punishment we owed for sinning against him, but instead paid it himself by sending his own son to the cross. This is Jordan Steinman with 12th Avenue Baptist Church. For What It's Worth.
For What It's Worth is brought to you by Van Gundy Farms, your Lyon County Hogemeyer seed dealer.
This week, text the word Bluestem to the KVOE Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line 620-342-5863 for your chance to win an Amish Country silicone microwave popcorn popper and popcorn from Bluestem Farm and Ranch. Winner announced after 4 p.m. Friday.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. At a joint briefing, President Trump and UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer expressed disappointment and frustration with Russia's President Vladimir Putin over continued strikes on Ukrainian cities. ABC's Karen Travers says Starmer felt the allies must ramp up the pressure on Russia.
The president was not cleared what kind of pressure he would be willing to put on President Putin to get him to agree to a peace settlement. In fact, the pressure he was talking about was on European countries who were still purchasing oil from Russia. And at this point, it's only just a handful, because most of those countries had stopped doing it 3.5 years ago when the war began.
A key CDC vaccine advisory panel meeting today and tomorrow to review and vote on vaccine policies for children. It includes the MMR V, hepatitis B, and COVID-19 vaccines. Medical groups sounding the alarm due to the new members who have expressed vaccine skepticism. On Wall Street, stocks are up this hour. Investors bolstered by yesterday's interest rate cut. This is ABC.
Join Ron Thomas and Chuck Samples Monday through Friday at 7:15 for the Newsmaker segment. A different guest and topic daily on KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local. In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
Wrapping it up in the garden here today with Lyon County Extension horticulturist Travis Carmichael. 11:42 on KVOE. 12 o'clock hour of news and information coming up. Latest rainfall totals, and we're looking at 1.5 inches to nearly 3 inches of rain just from yesterday morning. Pretty heavy rain this overnight time period. And there's more rainfall possible here the rest of the day today before things at least short-term dry out. And as we mentioned already, we're looking at a possibly wet weekend, so we'll keep it posted here on KVOE. Also later today for our newscasts, listen in, because we'll have more here on the Kretzinger housing development in South Emporia. City commissioners yesterday making a rather significant discussion point and a decision on that, and basically putting it on hold. So Tegan's working on the story here today, so we'll have that update for you here on KVOE later on today. Hoping to have Royals baseball in between now and then as well, so we'll see how that plays out with our rainfall here going up to the KC Metro. We were talking about asparagus and rhubarb here in our second segment. Now we're going to talk about some flowering bulbs here. Travis, what do we got? What you got in mind?
Yeah, so now's the time to plant those.
Okay.
So
move your asparagus, move your rhubarb, plant your spring bulbs.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So if you have, or divide your spring flowering bulbs, and I'll hit on that too.
Okay.
So everyone loves tulip time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for us in Kansas, to get that show, you have to replant those every year. Because we get hot, too hot, too quick. Now, this year might have been the exception, because our spring was a little bit off, you know, it was
true.
Cooler longer. The tulips could have been able to re-energize themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, to get that show, like you see at Lake Shawnee or in Kansas City, wherever they do the tulip time, it's because they've replanted those 40,000 bulbs every year to do that blanket show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that happens, because we get too hot too quick on tulips. Now, daffodils, we can plant and be done, but every so many years we need to divide them out, because they just they make more and they get real dense.
Okay.
Which also will reduce the flowering. So if you're seeing some issues with flowering, may need to do that. Now, bring this up and you have that aha moment like, oh, I should be doing that, but you don't remember where you planted them. Might be waiting till next year.
Make a grid, yeah.
Yeah, make a grid, make a map, or go out and mark them with flags that you can keep there all season.
Okay.
So you know, come next fall, that's where to dig.
Okay.
And that, because you want to wait till now so they get enough time to get everything re-energized. Regardless, if you're going to plant them, here's some tips. Of course, you can do a soil test if you're doing a new bed and even an old bed and you just want to make sure. We can do that, give you recommendations from there if we need to adjust the pH or any of the nutrients. The size of the bulb determines how deep and how far apart you're going to plant them. So typically for tulips and hyacinths, you're going to plant them 6 inches deep, while daffodil-sized bulbs are going to go 6 to 8 inches deep.
Okay.
Now, that is from the bottom of the bulb to the top of the soil, not the top of the bulb.
Okay.
So if you plant
that's a pretty significant determination. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. So if you go too deep, you're going to have some growth issues, or you may not even see them emerge, or they'll emerge, but they won't flower because it took too much energy to get that inch or two more out of the ground. So
okay.
keep that in mind. But generally, if you're curious, the rule of thumb is you're going to, the bulbs should be planted about 2 to 3 times as deep as they are their width. So that kind of, you know, couple inches deep, 3 times, there you go.
Got it.
Six inches deep. So that's how they determine that. Then if you're spacing them, you're going to place them about, for the larger bulbs, you're going to go 4 to 6 inches apart. Smaller ones, you can get about 1 to 2 inches. That way they have that nice, dense look. As I mentioned, daffodils at first, you know, we keep them far apart because eventually they're going to fill in that gap. They make pups every year in the ground and that. So they'll eventually fill that in. But if you're trying to do the mass planting, go out and just, and you're doing, say, tulips or daffodils, just dig that whole area up to the depth so you can place and you can see your grid of how you're doing it, and then backfill over the top. That's one easy way. The other is there's all sorts of augers you can put on power drills or little trowels. You just go out there and dig that hole real quick, pop them in, backfill, and away you go. So different ways to handle the digging and that. But keep that in mind. If you're wanting that constant show every year, especially on tulips, you may need to consider replanting. It might be something to give it a try. You might get by a couple years before you have to also replace, because some folks have microclimates within their lawns that help protect them. And so sometimes the tulips will go ahead and rebloom every year for them because of that microclimate. But generally, we get too hot too quick, and then that causes the tulips to die back too fast, and they can't get enough energy back for the reblooming side. They'll emerge out of the ground, and you'll have great green growth, but you just won't have the show that you have if they're fresh bulbs. So check it out. Give it a try. It is a bit of a trial and error on those if you're not wanting to dig them up every year and do all the replacing, but that's one way to handle it.
What about dividing bulbs? Because I know you wanted to mention that.
Yeah, too. So on the daffodils, now it would be the time you go out and you dig them up, and you just kind of pull them apart. They'll fall apart and that, and then you can replant them and go from there. But we do that now because we want everything died back and that, because that's putting as much energy back into that bulb as possible. Also, about this time of year is when all bulbs shed their roots, because they will push out new roots from here until winter and then go through kind of dormancy. So there's a lot actually happening underground when we're not seeing them growing. They're, you know, the daffodils are making new, but the root systems are doing their job, and then they're dying off, and then they're putting out new roots, and then they'll regrow and do their whole cycle. So a lot happens, even though we don't always see it. So just keep all that in mind.
Sounds good. Well, Travis, good show again.
Yeah.
Really appreciate you joining us as usual. And I know we're starting to run low on our programs.
We are.
We only got a few more left.
I know. Crazy. Can't believe it's that time.
Does that mean we both go dormant then? Or?
I get. No, no. I just go into the next season of next thing on my list. So
there you go. Next part of the checklist. But
you betcha.
We'll see you again next week.
Sounds great.
All right. Travis Carmichael, Lyon County Extension Horticulturist, wrapping up in the garden here today. Brought to you as usual by Jeff and Bree Williams of RE/MAX Ec Real Estate, by the Emporia Farmers Market, Grove Gardens, Waters Hardware, and Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate. Our 12 o'clock hour of news and information coming soon. It is now 11:50 on KVOE, live and local.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local.